In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 51, or 52, if you were looking at a Protestant Bible, we find a prayer that gives us a lot of insight as to how we should deal with the evil that we see around us and the evil that we see people do. It begins with the inscription for the end concerning the instruction by David when Doeg the Edomite came and declared to Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. And so these inscriptions are very important. The fathers never ignore what they have to say. So when you see that, if you're not familiar with the story, you should look it up. But the story that is being referred to here is that when David finally was convinced that Saul really wanted to kill him and that it was going to be a bad thing if he didn't flee, he left, and on his way, he stopped and saw the chief priest, Ahimelech, and asked him if he had any bread. And Ahimelech was kind of wondering, why are you here by yourself in the night? And David said, well, I'm on a mission from the king, and he told me make haste and don't tell anybody about it. And so the priest said, well, I don't have any regular bread, but we have some of the show bread. And if you and the men with you have kept yourself clean, then you can have it. And so he said, yes, we have, and he gave him the show bread. But he also then asked if they had any weapons, because he said, we were in such a hurry, we weren't able to leave with weapons. And he said, well, the only weapon we have is the sword of Goliath, which, of course, David was the one that slew, and it had been kept before the ark as a sign of God's triumph over the pagans. And David was pleased because he knew it was an excellent sword. He said, there's none like it, and he took it. And then he left. But it also notes that there, watching David come and being aware to some extent of what David was doing, was a man by the name of Doeg, who was an Edomite, but he was a servant of Saul. So he wasn't an Israelite, but he somehow came into Saul's service, perhaps when Saul had fought with the Edomites. Then later on we hear Saul complaining that everybody's against him, no one will tell him what's going on. David's made a league with his son and everybody's against him. So Doeg said, well, I saw the son of Jesse come to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And so Saul became very angry, and he sent for them to bring Ahimelech and his family, and we're told that Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. So what he's saying is, I had no reason to think that David was up to any bad. He's your son-in-law, after all. He's the one that's been commanding your armies. I didn't know anything about this. But Saul, by this time, had already been driven mad by jealousy, and he wasn't going to listen to reason. And so he said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And because they knew when he fled and did not show it unto me. So he tells his servants, kill the priest of the Lord. But we're told none of them would do it. They had enough fear for God that they refused to do it. So what did Saul do? He turned to Doeg, this Edomite, who didn't have any fear of God. And he said, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And we're told that he did. He killed 85 priests right then and there. And then he went to Nob, the village where this family of priests was living. And they killed every person there, every man, woman, and child. One person escaped, and that was the son of Ahimelech, Abiathar. He escaped and he told David of all this. So this psalm was written by David after he got the news of what had happened to all these priests. The fathers saw Doeg as a type of the Antichrist. He was a servant of the evil, just like Doeg was opposed to David, so will the Antichrist be opposed to Christ, the son of David. Doeg, I'm sure, if you had accused him of doing wrong, would have said, I'm a good servant of the king. The king was wanting to know where David was, and I told him where he had been. I gave him information that was helpful. And he mostly didn't lie, although he exaggerated. He said that the priest had inquired of a Lord for him, and there's no indication that that had happened. But he gave the suggestion that somehow the priests were helping David when they really weren't doing so in any way that was conscious. And the point being here is that it's, on the one hand, good to obey rulers, but it's not good to obey rulers when they exceed their God-given authority, and it's especially not good to obey authorities when they ask you to do something which is evil. And so Doeg, he obeyed the king. He could say, I'm a man of the king, but he was obeying an evil authority that overstepped his God-given power. So the psalm begins, why dost thou boast in evil, O mighty man, and in iniquity all the day long? He's saying, why are you boasting in your evil? You ought to be ashamed of your sins, but the wicked are proud of their sins. And we see that very clearly in our own time. We have a whole month devoted to people being proud about committing what the scriptures call an abomination, to committing perversion. It used to be that people were embarrassed about such things. They were ashamed of it, but they're not anymore because they've been more and more sold over to evil. Thy tongue hath devised unrighteousness, like a sharpened razor hast thou wrought deceit. The wisdom of Sirach says, the heart of fools is in their mouth, but the mouth of the wise is in their heart. And the point being there is the mouth of a fool doesn't really think about what he's saying, he just talks. Whereas the mouth of a wise person is restrained by what goes on in his heart. He thinks about what he says. So he says, when thy tongue hath devised unrighteousness, this is talking about an unthinking person who is allowing his passions and his emotions to dictate what he says and what he does. With his words, Doeg advanced himself. He ingratiated himself to King Saul. He no doubt acquired a great deal of wealth as a result of it, but he caused an entire village of priests and their families to be killed. Thou hast loved evil more than goodness, unrighteousness more than to speak righteousness. Thou hast loved all the works of engulfing ruin and a deceitful tongue. Now, one thing that this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that people who are wicked are evil 100% all the time. Hitler loved his dog. Hitler talked about loving children. I'm sure he did a lot of good things from one day to the next. But evil people do good things when it's in their own interest to do good things. But they do evil things when it's in their interest because they love themselves. And so they love unrighteousness when it suits them. They'll do whatever they need to do, even if it means killing an entire village of priests and their families. Wherefore, God will destroy thee at the end. He will pluck thee out and remove thee from thy dwelling place and thy root out of the land of the living. We need to know that the Doegs of this world will get their comeuppance. They will be destroyed, and there will be nothing left of them among the living. God chastens his own, and so there are times when we feel like we're being destroyed, and God allows this to happen. But if you love God, these kinds of hardships that we go through are designed to bring us to repentance and therefore our ultimate great benefit. But God will destroy those who reject him in the end, and there is no recovery from that punishment. We, of course, are to pray for our enemies and for those who persecute us, because we would like to see them repent and change and not be our enemies. We'd like to see them love God rather than to hate God. But we should all know that those who don't afford themselves of all of God's mercy and all the opportunities that God gives them to repent will finally get their just reward for their evil. And this is true not just of wicked men, but it's especially true of the devil and his demons. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, and say, lo, this is the man that made not God his helper, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his vanity. It's good for us to see the end of the wicked and to fear that end and to admonish ourselves and others that that's not the way to go. Such people think that they're clever. They think they're on the right side of history, as we often hear these days. They're with the smart people. They're on the side of the strong and the powerful. But the day will come when they will be seen for what they are, and the righteous will rejoice that their wickedness has come to an end. But as for me, I am like a fruitful olive tree in the house of the Lord. I have hoped in the mercy of God forever and unto the ages of ages. I will give praise unto thee forever for what thou hast done, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. The olive tree is a symbol of God's blessing. The fruit of the olive or olive oil was a sign of God's grace and mercy. And to be an olive tree means that you're not only have a person who's received God's grace and mercy, but you become a means by which others receive God's grace and mercy. And this is especially true of the prophet King David, from whom Christ himself came, the Anointed One. I will wait on thy name, the psalm says. When King David wrote this psalm, he had not already seen Doeg get his comeuppance. As far as he knew at that time, Doeg was living high on the hog. But he knew through the eyes of faith, he could see that that's exactly what was going to come to him. And in the meantime, he had to wait in faith. God wins in the end, and if we have faith, we don't have to see it all fulfilled right now to know it. Because we know that he is just, and he will reward those who have received his grace and mercy and who love him, and he will bring justice to those who hate him. Amen.